Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. As he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please do be seated. Our gospel reading today comes from the Anglican lectionary, and it's chosen because today we celebrate the festival of St. Matthew the Apostle. Angela and myself are wearing our red stolen robes today, which we normally have on a feast day, but also during this season of ordinary time, depends on where these feast days fall, you will see the ordinary colour of green. So we have gifted you both colours today. Matthew was a tax collector, a man many would have overlooked. But when Jesus called him with a simple invitation to follow me, he left his old way of life behind and followed. Have you ever noticed in life how there seems to be an in-crowd and an out-crowd? The in-crowd is usually an exclusive group, perceived as fashionable, informed, popular or influential, often working towards the same goal. Being in can make us feel special, wanted and included. The out-crowd is the opposite. Those excluded because they don't fit in with the ways of the in-crowd. I can think of many times in my life that I've been part of each group. Moments when I felt like I've belonged, and moments when I felt very much on the outside. 15 years ago, almost to the day, I stepped into the world of triathlon. I quickly learned it involved not one, but three disciplines: swimming, biking, and running. Today I'd probably say that there are at least five disciplines to a triathlon, if we include the bits in between those disciplines, the transitions, and also with long distance racing, the act that nutrition is important. I'd like to maybe add a sixth as well, about my faith and how God can give me strength as I compete and how I can trust in him for the provision that I need when I race. With the triathlon, the race begins with a swim. That could be in a pool, a lake, a river or a sea, and it doesn't finish until you've cycled and then run across the finish line. There's no pausing in the middle to go for a shower in the changing rooms. You just have to keep on going. 15 years ago, I couldn't swim, and Andrew will know, as he was part of my journey to teach me to swim. I couldn't swim with my head under the water. So my swim coach advised me to swim every day, even if it was just for 10 to 15 minutes, just to master that bilateral breathing in front crawl. So I went to the pool, and there I was definitely in the out crowd. Groups of swimmers trained in perfect formation, moving through the same training set together. It certainly took some time until I was invited to join them. But here's a wonderful thing. God's love is radically inclusive. No one is left out. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it makes this clear. "For God so loved the world." That word "world" means everyone. As children of God, we are all known, included, and loved. We're all invited into God's in-crowd. And today's gospel, the writer of the Gospel, Matthew, not to be confused with Matthew the tax collector, for most recent scholars believe that the author was an anonymous writer, who wrote the letter possibly in the second century, this gospel writer highlights how Matthew the tax collector, someone who others thought was morally compromised, was invited by Jesus to follow him, to be in the in crowd, so to speak. On this festival day of St. Matthew, we hear the moment that changed his life forever. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. There's no moral screening, there's no theological exam, there's no conditions, just a call. Follow me. And Matthew responds. That's one call from Jesus that still echoes today. In a world marked by conflict, fear and division, many are asking, where is hope? Where is God's mercy? How do we live out our faith with integrity in such a complex world? This passage reminds us that God is still calling unexpected people. God's mercy still reaches into unlikely places. And the church is still called to live not by exclusion, but by grace. I've already spoken about triathlon, the sport with three main disciplines. I like that number three. So I therefore offer you three kind of biblical insights from our passages today. My first point is this: Jesus' call is a surprising and transformative call in a complicated world. Matthew was a tax collector, a profession associated in his time with injustice and betrayal. He worked for the Roman Empire, taking money from his own people. In many people's eyes, he was morally compromised. And yet Jesus sees him. Jesus calls him. And then he goes to dinner, not with the religious elite, but with tax collectors and sinners, people on the margins, people judged and written off. The religious authorities are shocked and ask, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answers, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." This is at the heart of Jesus' ministry: mercy before judgment, grace before rules. And we live in a time when many people feel judged, sometimes by society, sometimes even by the church. This could be people who are unchurched, people who are wealthy, people who are poor. People can be judged for their gender, race, or ethnicity. People whose relationships, families, or identities don't fit certain expectations have often felt excluded. Some people feel unworthy, like they've made too many mistakes in life to be loved by Jesus, to receive his mercy. But Jesus' words remind us, follow him. Everyone's invited into his following. No one's in the out crowd. My second insight from our passages is the call to leave something behind. And in our hymn that we've just sung, one of the verses was kind of prompting us to think about that. When Jesus calls Matthew, not only did he invite him in, he also asked him to leave something behind. Matthew left the tax booth. He walked away from what was familiar, what defined him, even what had secured him in the eyes of the world. Following Jesus always involves some kind of leaving behind. I wonder if there's something we are called to leave behind in our current season of life. Recently, I raced triathlon in the Netherlands. On paper, the result was good, better than I expected, especially considering some of the challenges I faced during the preparation this year. But something felt different this year. The Great Britain team had changed from the last time I competed. The organisation of the race felt different. And honestly, I didn't feel like I fitted in the same way like I once did. I felt like maybe I was possibly in the out crowd, so to speak. But God has spoken to me through this triathlon experience, prompting me to continue praying and discerning the best way forward, possibly leaving something behind. Even though my result was just good enough to pre-qualify for next year's European Age Group Championship, is God calling me to leave this behind in this current season of life that I'm in? Sometimes God uses moments in our lives to remind us that things don't stay the same forever. We can be grateful for the past season, also to recognise that we're being called into a new one. To keep following Jesus, we may need to leave behind certain expectations, old comparisons, or even parts of our identity that no longer serve us. Matthew left his tax booth. Paul left his old certainty as a Pharisee. Perhaps in our lives too, faith means loosening our grip on what once defined us so that we can receive something new. My third point is this, that God's light shines even in the darkest places. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul speaks to a church under pressure. They're conflicted, they're fragile, and they're facing resistance. And yet he writes, "We do not lose heart. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord." Paul insists that even when things feel uncertain, even when we feel inadequate or discouraged, God's light is still shining. He says, "It is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' who has shone into our hearts." This light doesn't come from our strength or our achievements or our moral perfection. It comes from God. It's grace, unearned and undeserved. In a world that feels heavy with war, injustice, climate anxiety, and division, we need this reminder. God's mercy, it's not theoretical, it is real. It meets us here in our real lives and invites us to carry light into dark places. So, what does this mean for us? How can we use these insights to shape the way we may choose to live today? First, God still calls the unexpected. Matthew was unlikely to be chosen by any religious leader of his day to be part of the in crowd as a disciple of Jesus. But Jesus chose him. Whatever your story, your profession, your past, your doubts, God is calling you today. I encourage you to prayerfully discern what God is calling you to. Only you, through God's prompting, can discover what that might be. Second, faithfulness matters more than flashiness. Paul reminds us that we are jars of clay, fragile vessels carrying great treasure. Our task is not to impress, but to reflect Christ. Sometimes we think that faith is about having all the answers, but Paul shows that vulnerability and humility are often where God works best. And third, mercy must be our posture. Jesus says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And this is a word for today. In our culture, online, in politics, even in religious spaces, there's a tendency to judge quickly, especially when someone is different. That could be in belief, background, or lifestyle. But Jesus challenges us. Do not be gatekeepers of grace. We're not called to guard the door, but to open it wide. And that doesn't mean that we need to agree with everyone on everything. But it does mean choosing compassion over condemnation. It means listening more than lecturing. It means recognizing that all people are invited. No one is excluded from the grace of God. So today, we celebrate Matthew, not because he was perfect, but because he heard the call and followed. We celebrate Paul, not because he was perfect or unbroken. We certainly know from his past, for persecuting Christians, for facing suffering and all the other weaknesses that he carried. But God's light found him and transformed him. And today we can look at our own lives, imperfect, unfinished, sometimes unsure, and remember that that call still comes. Follow me. That call comes not when we've got it all together, but right here, right now. So maybe be people of mercy, people of light, people that make room at the table for others, and also people that make room at the table for ourselves. Amen.